Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And as always, it is awesome to. Okay, I'm laughing because I just saw Ian Smug. And Ian Smug says, "Not dead yet." I got better. I'm feeling
exactly.
better.
It's a band. It's a band. It's Frank Turner. There's a song. Part of one of the lyrics of one of their songs is "I'm not dead yet." I saw the mug and I had to have it.
And I immediately went to Monty Python. Bring out your dead. Anyhow, I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, as usual. And if I'm here and I'm laughing, that means it must be Thursday, and I'm hanging out with awesome people like Ian, who I just mentioned. Ian, how are you?
I'm great. I'm really good. It's fine. I'm just doing my usual work stuff this week. I'm at home. It's a bit quieter, as I said, because we've sent two of our young ones, and they're all at university. So it's just me and the good lady. She's busy over there marking away exams. She can't even hear. She's got headset on, but she's marking accountancy exams for extra cash and stuff. She does this twice a year or so. So yeah, we're all. It's just the two of us. It's a bit strange, to be honest. You know, in that way of you've been so used to other folk around the place, and then suddenly it's just you two again.
And it's
All good
suddenly
fun.
Quieter.
Yeah.
And there are
Suddenly
fewer
quieter.
dirty dishes.
Yeah, fewer dirty dishes. Many of those things.
Well, enjoy your empty
And
nest.
more sweets in the snack drawer as well. That's the other benefit.
Oh, nice. Nice. So what I'm hearing is you should have kicked the kids out sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of kids, Tom, how are you?
Are you talking about me being a kid?
Yes.
Okay. Guilty as charged. I'm great, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah. And thank you for cutting back on how much smoke you're sending to me.
You're welcome. Yeah, we've tamped down the fires a little bit here for you.
Yep. And now for your continental United States weather update. There's a big storm cell that's moving in like half the southern half of California right now, and it's pretty big. And today's Thursday. It will be here for me on Saturday. And so unless you keep all the rain for yourself, we're finally going to get some rain here this weekend from the storm that's hitting you today.
We're actually avoiding the storm. We have clouds. It's Southern California. It's getting whacked. We're just on the very edge of it. So I don't think we have any rain forecast. So,
well, then that means if I don't get any rain, it's not your fault.
It's not my fault. It's not my fault. No.
Yep. Yep. And Patrice, how are you?
Doing well. Doing well. I'm still in the hotel, in my hotel room in Norway, in Oslo. Been there all week. Despite my luggage not making it initially, like I arrived on Monday and my luggage arrived on Tuesday, but that's fine. I mean, I kind of expected that. It's airlines, right?
Yes, yes. So since you're in Oslo, you are pretty far north, especially considered or in relation to where I am.
Yes.
So I'm going
I mean,
to start
I'm
to
the
be honest.
Farthest up north out of everybody on the panel.
Yeah, you will be. You'll be further up north than I am.
Yeah.
Not by a lot, mind you, because I remember
not
looking
by a lot, but
surprisingly enough, not as much as you think, but because I know we looked when I was in Sweden if I was further up, and I wasn't. And my son's further up than me in Inverness. They might be about parallel kind of thing to where you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's surprising.
So, yeah.
With as far north as you are right now, I'm not sure where the moon was tracking during the solar, yeah, during the eclipse on Tuesday. So I'm curious, were you able to even see it?
No, I didn't even know about that, so no idea.
Oh, well.
I don't even know if this happened here, so no clue.
Here in Colorado, it was just a sliver off the top of the moon. But I still went out and looked because that's how I roll.
Yeah,
By
I
the
was
way,
actually kind of excited
I'm
about
north
it.
of I'm north
You
of
north.
Inverness, by the way.
You north also you are well and truly as north as it is to be north then. Lovely.
So, Tom, you're
Very
saying you're
nice.
excited about it?
I was excited about the lunar eclipse and got my camera out, went outside, and it was cloudy.
Oh, of course.
All I saw was bright lights behind clouds. It was really not very exciting.
We were supposed to get more northern lights this week. I didn't have a chance to go out and have a look, but it was
Yeah,
supposed to
that
be
was
more
early
solar
this week
flares.
also.
Yeah, it was supposed to be more solar flares and so solar eclipses outside, but I didn't see it. As I didn't have a chance.
Well, I miss the northern lights this time. I couldn't see anything. But I'm so far south that northern lights are an extremely rare thing. And actually, when we had the northern lights here a couple months ago, a few months ago, that's the first time I've ever seen northern lights.
Yeah, they're
See,
pretty cool.
when I took pictures that we could see them, you could see them better with the camera's lens than you could with the naked eye, which I was surprised. That's all kind of thing, and it was really was quite spectacular.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right. Well, now that we've gotten through our weather and astronomy updates, I
How
guess we
about?
can move on to the news.
Are we going to
So,
do astrology updates after astronomy updates?
oh, sure.
No.
Yeah. My Mercury's in retrograde and my Venus is in Neptune. Oh my God. And I probably just really, really upset or offended some people, which was not my intent. I was just.
In Colorado, that's home of all that kind of madness and people that love all of
That's
that
true.
sort of stuff, isn't it? You're in hippie heaven over there.
Yeah, there are places where there'll be like clusters of shops, and it's all like meditation crystals and just all the stuff that falls into that category.
New Age
So.
woo. New Age woo. That's what it is. New Age woo.
Yeah, there's a lot of new age shops. Yeah. Anyhow, who is the first story today?
That'll be me. And I'm doing this only because, and the rest of you are going to have to help me. And I'm only doing this because we have an absence for a gamer.
Where did you drop your link?
Into the chat, into the BTN. You should be in there. British TechNet chat.
Yeah, I see it.
I'm in there.
Of course, I don't see it. Hold on. Let me reload the
Hey,
live stream. There we
got
go. Whatever.
it.
Okay, now I've
Wonderful.
got it.
So, in the absence of Ben and no one to talk about the PlayStation 5, I may as well say there's a new PlayStation out, everybody. And it's bloody expensive.
Yes, it is.
And it does lots of really cool stuff, mind you. I mean, I was just looking at the specs and things. It's got upgraded GPU, 67% more power to generate the pixels and create the games. Advanced ray tracing, so that means the 3D will be cleverer. AI-driven upscaling. What the hell? I don't know what that is for the life of me, but there we are.
I can explain that to you because I had to learn
Hey!
about it a few days ago.
Superb, Jeff.
Okay, so AI-driven upscaling. This is something that NVIDIA is expecting is going to become a huge thing over the next few years. And the idea is when you're creating graphics and animations, like for games, you can create a much lower resolution version. And so the way NVIDIA was describing it, it's like we have one pixel, and then AI-driven upscaling converts that into like 30 pixels. And so you can take lower res graphics, let the AI-driven upscaling get a hold of them, and then it's supposed to turn them into really high-res graphics on the fly.
So you could sort of take an old game then and make it modern by squirting it through this kind of tech sort of thing.
I don't know if it
Or
works with old games.
is it this now for current generation games where it makes leaner and more efficient programming, I guess.
Yeah, my understanding, and I very well could be wrong because, like I said, I just learned about this. This is for new games. So the resources in the game don't have to be nearly as big to get the same quality that you're getting today.
So they'll be
Right,
able to
and
get leaner programming.
if you're doing something like streaming, you're not streaming as much data if you're doing the upscaling at the endpoint.
Yeah, that's
Now,
exactly it. You'll be streaming.
I thought the PlayStation was using AMD
Doesn't
GPUs
say
and
on this one.
CPUs.
Doesn't say what it's using over here. Other than the whole kit and caboodle, if you buy it and all of the gizmos that you need for your current for one, it will cost you £825
Yeah, it's
the end of the
expensive.
month. It's a lot of money. It's the same price in dollars as it in pounds. So it's $700 dollars. Insert your currency of choice. It's a hell of I'm probably euros too. So it's a hell of a lot of money for what I remember being a very accessible console. When I first got my first PlayStation, it was £100 or so, you know, and it's getting so really, really sort of, but 8K gaming and stuff like that, Wi-Fi 7, there's so many sorts of things now that the world has moved on and on, but it's interesting, and we should sort of touch on it, obviously.
Now, as someone who's not a hardcore gamer, for basis of reference here, I upgraded my original Wii last year to a Switch.
Good plan.
And I haven't even unplugged the Wii yet because I'm not sure if I'm done playing games on it. Anyhow.
Our family Wii that lived in that had been relegated to the cupboard of many things, found its the boy before he left said, I was talking to the guys in the house and there's a mixed group of them, and they think it might be cool if we had the Wii. Can we take the Wii with us? So it lives on and continues for people to play. It's all of those games where you swing your arms about and all of that kind of stuff. There's still a lot of joy to be had in that really simple console for playing golf and doing the Wii, those Wii mini game things where you work your way through, and it's a lot of it. It's a great giggle. So
It
yes.
is. So, all right. So now that we've established I'm clearly not a hardcore gamer, $700 for this console sounds expensive, but at the same time, knowing what's going into it, it doesn't seem that expensive. Am I interpreting that correctly, or is this something where Sony is just gouging people on the price?
I probably not, because you can. I suppose it depends, because that's the pro version. The standard PS5 is, well, the standard PS5 itself is about £500. And
Okay.
then if you go up to the pro, you're spending another couple of hundred to get the extra. So I don't know. And when you look at it, it's probably still cheaper than building a shit-hot gaming rig. Those that are gamers in the crowd, in the audience, you can shout and throw fruit at me now if you like, but I still think it's probably cheaper than building yourself an Uber gaming rig to play everything at high detail with a lovely monitor and all that. It's still going to be cheaper overall. And that's probably where it comes from, is the fact that for my old head, when I was looking at gaming and looking at all this kind of technology, it always seemed to me that the console was the way to go, rather than forever trying to keep my PC up with the next video card and the next video card and the next video card, because most of the titles were released in parallel anyway. It's only those things where you can only play Gran Turismo being one of those things. It's only ever on PlayStation. You know, it's there is some things you can only get in one place. So I guess there's some amount of that there. Of it depends on your...
For reference, the PS5 was either $400 or $500.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pro now, this new one.
Yeah. But I mean, if you think about it, this is a high-end computer, right?
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Completely.
Yeah. So, I mean, given that graphics cards especially are quite expensive these days, it's not that bad.
Yeah, if you think about a decent expensive graphics card, you're not far off, are you?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it's probably not. It's just that kind of inflation thing in your head when you look at something you remember costing a couple of £100 and you go, really?
Yeah, but inflation is also a good point. I mean, it's just like overall a couple of £100, like 10 years ago, it was a lot more today.
It is, but I don't, I struggle to find it's that much more expensive. You know, that seems like orders of magnitude of almost of kind of like crazy inflation, rather than it being another $50 or $60, because time's passed on and technology's gone on, another $100, say. You know, I see that more realistically than I see four times the price, which, you know, effectively we're at now, three, four times the price. I think that's gone a bit, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I'm old and I'm not the market for these things. And I'm bringing this thing up. It's a story we can't afford. We can't ignore, because it's news. It's out this week, and they're releasing another fancier version. Well, not a fancy version. They're launching one which is kind of appealing to my own eye, but I wouldn't buy it. It's 30th anniversary edition, because it is 30 years since the release of the original PlayStation back in 94. December 94 it came out. So, you know, that's crazy. So that's interesting in its own right, you know. With they're going for all the old graphics, that original P in red with the little bits, the little original logo and stuff like it, which is kind of cool. I like all that. But as I said, my pockets are not deep enough to, or I game enough anywhere to justify the purchase.
Now, at the bottom of the article, there's a reader survey. What's your reaction to the PS5 Pro reveal?
Yeah.
And the choices are, how much? I'm getting one. Only if it gets a lot cheaper in the future. I'm still tempted. And no, but seriously, how much?
So I'm not alone in this store.
I just put the original $499 price from 2013, like for the PS3, into an inflation calculator, and it would be $674 these days.
That's really interesting. Actually, I wouldn't have gauged the jumping price and value to be that great. But I guess I'm out of touch.
We can compare it to 2020. Let's see what that is. Yeah, 2020 was 550. So it's gone
it's
up.
Probably tracking inflation then, scarily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As much as we like to think that's a lot of money.
The processors that are in it, the faster RAM.
Yeah, for sure.
Costs more.
Mm. The whole tech is all ridiculously.
Bigger, more powerful, fancier, but the cost also goes down. I mean, that's how it usually is. Like the stuff gets faster, but the cost actually doesn't increase all that much.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, compared to an iPhone, which it's probably similar, because the absolute price has stayed pretty much the same, but that doesn't account for inflation, so it's actually cheaper, right? Well,
I mean, Apple, like, we
Apple
don't
is
want to
pretty
talk about Apple,
steady.
but a lot of companies have increased prices the last couple of years. Like, every couple of years, they go up $100 or whatever. Like,
Well, the other thing is, I think PlayStation has better market share than Xbox, don't they?
I think so, yeah.
Which might allow them to hold prices better than Xbox, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's also resale prices. Like,
Right.
I mean, if people resell the devices for a good price, makes a difference.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, since none of us are hardcore gamers, it's hard for us to make any comment about PlayStation versus Xbox and if this is a good price, but it
Yeah, we
doesn't
would need
seem
Ben here.
crazy.
He would know
Yeah.
more.
He would know more. Yeah. All I can say is upgrading to a Switch from a Wii, that was a huge leap for me, and it took a long time for me to decide that I actually really was ready for a new game console. And yes, I treat my Switch like it's a game console. It spends most of its time just plugged directly into the TV. So I can't even switch correctly.
Isn't the point that a Switch is portable, right?
And folks, there we go. Cutting edge gaming advice from BTN.
That's right.
Didn't we have to, like, I think we had a gamer show at some point in the past,
We
so
did, we did.
yeah.
Where people far
None of
more
us were
knowledgeable
on
than
it.
us. No, none of us were on
No,
it.
they
none
never invited me on.
of us.
So weird. All
I can't
right, who
believe
is the
this
next
BTN.
story?
Yes, it's me.
And I bet you just put your link in the chat and I'm not seeing it.
Oh,
I don't know.
this
Yep.
is a scary
Yeah,
one. I was
because
right.
Jeff wasn't in the chat. So, my
Yeah.
story.
Okay, your story. Oh, interesting.
This is a tough one. This is definitely not a happy gaming story, because this is about pretty bad, two actually two pretty bad attacks that happened this week in Lebanon. So against some Hezbollah people. So what happens is, and I mean, we don't know the, we definitely do not know the full details. Some stuff has been confirmed to, like, some news outlets like New York Times and so on by officials, but a lot of it is not known. A lot of speculation also going on. But what we know is that there were two separate incidents, I think on Tuesday and on Wednesday. In the first one, a bunch of, like, a couple, supposedly, we don't know exactly, but like a couple thousand pagers exploded in a, like, round. Around Beirut and some other areas. So that in itself was already quite, I mean, quite bad, but also quite interesting, like how that happened. And then a day later, the same thing happened again, but this time with supposedly with walkie-talkies. So what we know is this was a targeted attack. In the Pater's case, I think what was confirmed by official US officials was that a, let's say, fake message was sent to all those Pater's, supposedly from the leadership of the Hezbollah. And that apparently triggered it. Not a lot else is known. So there was some speculation, like, for the pagers, that they come from a factory in Hungary. For the, I think, walkie-talkies, it's a Japanese company. But in reality, I mean, we don't know. They could be fakes. They could have been replaced, all of that.
I mean, it's highly likely that it's nothing to do with any of the two companies that manufacture it. The bomb makers have got hold of them and then stuffed them with whatever small amounts of explosive. And then, like any small explosive device that's ever been invented before, is triggered by electrical signal, which in this case you send a message to all the pagers. And and they go boom. Because I'm reading that article, it seems that they're moving 2 pages because they're less easy to track than a good old mobile phone is.
Yeah, that I
you know,
mean
it's going
that,
back to
that's
low
the
tech.
whole that's the whole thing. I mean, like I think like a couple of months ago, like earlier this year or maybe
In
late last year.
January, it was January.
They like the leadership basically urged everybody to move off of smartphones, especially and like messengers, to like old school lower tech things like walkie talkies and pagers, because supposedly they're harder to hack or harder to track and all of that, which probably was true. I don't know. But that opened up an avenue for this one, because it's definitely harder, I think, harder to hide explosives in a modern smartphone.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of space to do that. And I mean, just think about it, how hard it is to open up like a Samsung or like a Google Pixel or whatever. Like it's
right with
or
the
an iPhone.
pager, you
Like
just
they're
need a screwdriver. You can probably
Yeah,
open
you need
that.
a screwdriver. There's enough space in there. Like they have a certain size, and electronics are actually not that big. The battery is
Yeah, I mean,
quite standard. So,
yeah, like a AAA battery or something in most cases.
I mean, the story itself. And now I'm reading bits more of it as we're talking, is more and more confusing as you read it, because it first appears that. Are they already primed as a weapon and they're carrying them around?
Yeah, suppose I mean
Or is it the suspicion that the article says, when you start getting further down reading it in, that the Israelis have figured this out and have then tripped them? Because it then wanders back to conversations we were having last week about abilities of hacking and or talking to devices without necessarily having the wherewithal to connect them in the same
So
in terms of Ethernet and internets and things, which is
the
kind of
so the most the most likely thing is what we've heard, like out of the like the Mossad and the US like securities areas, is that they were actually like they planted them for a future usage. So like they distributed them and they had those like bombs in them, but they were kind of the idea was kind of they wanted to have a bigger attack at some future date and then they would use them.
So a
So
supply
kind of
chain thing,
combined.
right? At a distributor or someplace, they put
you don't
something in the
know.
device.
Yeah.
I know. I'm
I
just
mean,
saying, someplace
it
it's very unlikely that they're standard pagers. A lithium battery
yes.
is
No,
anyway.
That much is
So
known.
it's
I
got
mean,
to be right somewhere in
that
the
much is
supply
known.
chain, right? Somebody put some C4 or something in there. I mean, how else would
Yeah,
you do it?
not necessarily. I mean, it could be like in the supply chain for the pager, but it could also just be like in transport. I mean, literally at
Oh
the
yeah,
customs check when it sits in a warehouse for like 4 days. Like you can
Patrice,
just switch them out.
that's what I mean by supply chain, right? It's
Okay.
The whole part,
Yeah.
right? Because there was some talk about the distributor in Hungary and all that stuff. But the question I have is, the pagers exploded when they sent a message coming from a particular person or spoofing a particular person, and then the pager vibrated, which activated the explosive somehow. How did it not explode when they got other messages?
I mean,
maybe...
that we don't know. There is multiple possibilities. I mean, it's possible it was a certain, like, it's possible that they, I mean, once you have the pager in your hand, you can, like, you can put something in the firmware. Simply say, when you get this string, then activate this other, I mean, it's electronics, like activate another outlet on the, like on the chip.
Right,
and
because
that
it
then
sounds
triggers
like
the bomb.
they wanted to have control over exactly when they would explode. They didn't want them explode randomly. So yeah, they must have done something to the firmware or something.
I mean, that's one possibility. There's other possibilities. You could have just put another chip in, and if it gets a certain signal, it's like it does that. Like a certain vibration pattern that triggers it. Like there's multiple like messages. Like there's different ways of doing things.
Talk about striking terror, though. You know, this is the classic case of terror, which is sort of seemingly random explosions that kill indiscriminately.
Well, you know? Actually, neither. They're neither seemingly random because it's very clear who was targeted.
Yeah, I mean, reading.
Yeah,
around,
but I mean, if you're just a regular person in Beirut, it seems pretty random, and there's definitely indiscriminate killing going on.
Yeah, I mean, they were from all we know, they were targeting Hezbollah.
Oh
like,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
there were a bunch.
Targeting.
There were others who got hurt or killed because of that, because they were bystanders, but the targets were pretty clear.
Yeah, if you watch the one video, I think the BBC published one video of the person looking at produce in her grocery store. It's pretty tough to watch, but man. But this goes along with the side channel attack stories we've had the last couple of weeks. It's something I never thought of. But I wonder,
but it's not unheard of.
Did they hatch this plan once the leadership told everybody to ditch their phones and they go, oh, now we have a chance? Or were they working on something on phones? Or
I mean, who knows what came first? Maybe the whole reason they ditched the phones was because someone kind of seeded that idea they had prepared for it.
Yeah, it could be a long con where they've got the idea going ahead. And then once they started picking these things up.
Yeah, and it's not a large number of devices. I mean, that's also the thing. Like, they didn't have to prepare like hundreds of thousands of pagers, like a couple thousand probably. So, like, even if they didn't know exactly when or what, I mean, it probably didn't take that long to prepare.
Yeah.
My pagers are
the
dime a dozen these days. You can buy them, prepare them beforehand, and then switch them out. Like,
I actually didn't even know you could still buy pagers.
they're still being
used. Like, restaurants are using them. You see them in even hospitals and so on still to this day.
Well, I guess I've seen them in restaurants. Yeah, I get, they're
short range pager.
But in a pager,
so
in the old days, pagers didn't work on a cell network. I'm trying to figure out why a pager in and of itself is less trackable than a phone. Is a pager not locatable by, triangulation like cell phones are in cell towers?
It might not. I mean, definitely not as smartphones. But the difference is also, I don't think you have to register them. Like, for smartphones, especially these days, it's like you have to register. A lot of countries
have to register them.
There's
a whole paper trail. With those
with pagers, probably not as much.
So if you knew a particular pager and whatever serial number it transmits, you might be able to find it somehow, but you would never know which pager somebody owns, right?
Yeah.
Right. And you'd have to have access to the pager network.
Right.
Yeah. And pagers are one way. I mean, that's the other thing. Pagers are one way communication. You send a message to a pager. The pager does
true.
not
You don't
send the message back.
Back.
Yeah.
So it just gets broadcast, and then your pager responds basically.
So I never had a pager. So, but with the pager, can't you page somebody from a pager?
No.
No.
So you can only receive
the phone.
On a pager.
Yeah, you needed just the phone to send the pager.
I see. Right. Okay. Now I remember. Boy, it's been so long. It's been 25 years since pagers were a thing.
Yeah, it's been a long time. But I mean, you see, like, that people switch to that because they think it's simpler and cheaper and, like, more secure, supposedly.
But
it
the
opens
idea
up
that
other avenues.
That all you would get is a notification to call somebody is such a funny thing, given how we message people.
And then you have to go find a payphone.
Then you had to go find a payphone.
Yes, then you had to or your home phone.
One job I had years ago, they gave us pagers for the reliability of getting signal through to us in case we needed to be need to make a call. It died a death quite quickly, but initially for a few months we had pagers, and it was just stupid. But they thought it was a good idea.
There's like a service for like DevOps site reliability called PagerDuty. That's where this comes from. Like they had, I mean, when you were working in a data center, you used and you were on call, you used to have a pager.
Yeah, sure.
And quite often in a data center, you won't want your phone with you because your phone won't be much use in there quite often. No, they
Well,
don't
I
want it in
mean,
there. So,
no, back then you didn't have a phone. I mean, there was a phone
oh, that's
line
true. Yeah,
probably
yeah.
somewhere in a
If
data
you're going for,
center,
yeah.
but
If you're going for times before, then yes.
yeah. And I mean, if you were on call, especially, you might be at home and you get a look at a page. It's like, oh, something is happening in the data center. Come in. And then you drive in. I mean,
Yeah, but it's
like a lot
just
of emergency services, I think, still use that. Like they have a different network, but they're still using
Yeah.
pager technology.
Yeah, I always remember doctors having pagers.
Yeah.
But it's just the idea that you get a message and you don't know, whether the coffee machine's not working or the building's on fire. You have no
No,
idea.
you could send, I mean, you could send a message. Like you would get a message. It wasn't,
Oh, okay.
I think it's really low bandwidth, so there's not a lot you can send, but you can send a message.
So you can send text.
Yeah. I mean, like a small short string, not a lot.
Right.
Now, what we did back in the day, when I had a pager, when a bunch of people I knew had pagers, we sat down and came up with our own pager code. And so specific number string was a certain message. So you could send out very clear, very precise messages without needing to have the ability to actually type something. And on a pager, it doesn't care if you're sending a full phone number or a single digit.
Oh.
And so we could have like 3-digit codes, 4-digit codes, and the codes could mean things like call the office, it's a serious emergency, or this system is down, or whatever.
Let's meet up and hook up.
Let's meet up and hook up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was used for
You think?
Of course it
It,
was.
any technology that can be used for communication will be used to help people hook up.
Yep. It's kind of the way the world works. Absolutely.
All right, so the one thing about the pagers I could never figure out, and I couldn't figure it out because I never actually looked it up. So I go to a different city and still get my pager messages. How does it know? Or does every single pager message go out across the entire nationwide network for a pager company?
I'm assuming it was similar as with smartphones. They had a number, and the pager basically connected to the local tower, and then it would know
It
where
just
you are.
bounces it around, yeah.
So Oh, that would
it
make
doesn't know
sense.
exactly where you are, but it knows like on which tower
But
you
it
are
knows which
connected.
towers to send out from. That makes sense. All right. So, next story.
Yeah, after this fun story.
Yeah.
But hey, it turned into everything you needed to know about pagers, but were afraid to
Oh,
ask.
yeah, indeed. Yes.
I
There's a
guess
short title.
I'm one of the one of the few people that maybe tech aware people that didn't have a pager. I feel kind of like I missed something now.
So, Tom, your story that you brought was going to be my story if we ran through everything so fast that we needed another story.
Okay. I actually had a few, but I chose the story about all the members of the outside members of the board of directors of 23andMe resigned this week.
All at once.
All at
Ooh.
once. Well,
Wow.
the a little bit of the recent history, we all know 23andMe send them a sample of your spit and they give you a DNA analysis. And, you know, originally they were trying to position this as sort of a, you know, a health thing, right? Well, based on your DNA, here's what you're at risk at and all that kind of stuff. And of course the FDA would never let them do that. Mm-hmm. And it was founded by Anne Wojcicki, who is the sister of Susan Wojcicki, who was married to, no, Anne Wojcicki was married to Sergey Brin. One of them was married to Sergey Brin. And Susan Wojcicki ran YouTube and died recently. But this is Anne, her sister. And so I think they had some financial troubles. I think they realized that if you sell a product like DNA testing, pretty much everybody only needs that once.
Maybe.
So once all the people who wanted the DNA test got it, whatever percentage of the population, you know, the revenues just fell through the floor. So then they were trying.
I don't think that was the only problem. They haven't run through the world yet. Not everybody has been tested.
I said the people that wanted to get a DNA test.
Yeah.
For example, I don't give a damn. So to me, it was not that interesting, you know, and as long as, you know, like my brother did it. So that's good enough for me. If I want to see, you know, my family history, I just look at my brother's. There's no real reason to do it.
Really.
And then, of course, there's privacy concerns and a million other reasons why people don't want to do it. And it was a little bit expensive. But it was kind of a cool thing.
And it's mostly useless.
It's mostly
to this
useless.
Day, the results are, like, except for research purposes, not super helpful.
Right. So if you get 1,000 tests, you might get something out, or 100,000 tests, you might get something useful out of it. But your individual report.
There is on the medical side, there is some useful tests you can do.
Sure.
But 23andMe doesn't do them because those are medical.
Right. Right. This is more just fun and games genealogy kind of test.
Yeah.
So once they figured out they couldn't go down the medical path.
You're like 3% house cat or whatever.
Right. And then you start asking.
It's just so much more. We're back to New Age woo. We are back to woo again, because a lot of the whole sort of things is, it's all about that. No. It's.
Mom, you never told me about our relatives in Italy. Oh.
Exactly.
No, I did not.
I mean, but to be fair, that has happened. I mean, there's been a lot of cases where, like, unknown relatives, unknown siblings, and whatever were detected. I mean, that was one of the few useful things that it actually did.
Right. Yeah. You know, we have the famous Golden State Killer that was found here in California through genealogy test of a close relative. So they're trying to figure out what to do and pivot and do all that. The revenue is cratering. They went public through a SPAC, SPAC, and I can't remember what that special something. It's basically a way to go public when you don't really have a business. Is probably the best way to put it. And their stock is down to $1 a share, I think, from 30 or 40 bucks.
30 cents. Special purpose acquisition company. Special purpose acquisition company.
Right. So you set up a public. Right.
Yep. Their data breach didn't help their stock value at all.
And they just paid a $30 million fine for a data breach. So sort of a grim picture. So the board of directors was basically trying to figure out what to do next. And Wojcicki wanted to take 23andMe private, but she never really came up with the plan for how to finance it. So the board finally threw up their hands and said, okay, forget it. We quit.
Yeah. She was apparently stalling.
Right.
Or at least
she
couldn't.
Yeah, she always said, oh, I want to have like a buyout offer. And she never did.
Right.
Yeah. So apparently she had a concept of a plan.
Yeah. Or maybe, she can, or, I mean, the problem is she's not Elon Musk.
Or Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Tom, that
Elon Musk said, I'm going to buy Twitter. Found some people.
I got the concept of a planned joke.
Yeah, that one was good too.
That's a Trumpism. And the other reason I picked this story is I don't actually like Ann Wojcicki that much because she owns a bunch of commercial property in the downtown of the city where I live. She grew up in Palo Alto, kind of close to where I grew up and live now. And she's bought up a bunch of real estate in downtown, and she's doing some really wacky things. And it's kind of that she's not a bro, but it's kind of that tech bro, we know better, we're going to change your town, you don't know what you're doing kind of thing. And that part of her business isn't doing very well. Every business she's tried to start in this real estate and the different pieces of real estate she owns have just completely fallen apart. And the sad thing is, there are a lot of people that had businesses that got tied up with her, restaurants, ice cream shops that went out of business because she screwed up their business. That's my opinion. And they're now out of business. I can point to one very successful ice cream shop started by a family that went out of business because they got hooked up with her, and a whole series of restaurants that she, businesses that she killed, in my opinion. I don't want to get sued, but my opinion. So I don't like her anyway. To be
Well,
honest,
Jim's raised him with a lot like him.
I've never met her personally, but I don't like what she's done to these people in to our downtown. But I don't know about you guys, but when 23andMe first came out, and the medical angle seemed like a very smart thing if you could do it. I don't understand medical stuff, so I thought, oh, that's a good idea. And then when it turned out that was never going to fly, 6 or 7 years ago, I think it was pretty obvious it was a doomed business. I mean, what else could they have done?
The thing is, I think the idea itself is valid, and there is
Right.
like a gazillion other companies who are doing it and doing it success somewhat some of them successfully. Like the problem here was that the consumer angle just never made a lot of sense.
Well, that's why it'd be good to ask you, because my impression is that there's a million companies that are very focused on very specific medical things and going through all the trials and getting approvals and have a very specific target in mind.
Yeah.
And like you said, this is a consumer thing. It was kind of spray and
Yeah.
pray and.
There is even better, more successful consumers like DNA tests.
Yeah,
Like there
that's
is a
true.
couple. Like this is
That are
the,
still
so
making money, yeah.
yeah, they're making money. I think that they're not as flashy, but they're like the insights that you get are, let's say, more balanced. The whole problem with that is that except for, as I said, some rare medical things, our research in what our DNA does and does not do is quite in the early
Limited.
stages. So
Yeah.
limited is a good word, yeah. Like, I mean, we know, like, we've decoded our DNA. We know what, like, we know certain things are involved in certain other in certain things, but we don't understand, like, it's because it's not a one or zero thing. Like, it's not, oh,
Right.
if you flip this switch, then this happens. And it's like, this combination of these things might maybe under the right circumstances in the right
If you don't
environment do that.
exercise and don't smoke and
And
50 million other things.
and you live close to like a nuclear reactor or whatever, like who knows. No, and that makes it really, as I said, the research, the medical side, we're nowhere close to anything. So all those claims of, oh, like do a DNA test and then you know what you have to eat, are just bogus.
Yeah.
I mean
There's no simple
it,
marker. Remember that it was like, oh, you have
yeah.
this marker in your DNA that means X, Y, and Z. Just not
Yeah,
that
and
simple.
there are certain markers that give you ideas. I mean, there is
Yeah, dude.
like in like and even there it's really difficult. Like in what to call it? Like your gender markers. There's like a million different combinations that you can have, but you can test for them, and it might give you an idea of what's going on. Even that is like bogus and very hard, and like still we're still figuring out how that will even work cell. And it's in the and the DNA is only like 1% of everything.
Right.
There is genetic diseases that might happen, and if you know, like if you get tested and you might like you know that it could happen, that might give you an idea what like what to look for. But there's no guarantee that you will get it. I said on the medical side. So I mean I always like I tell people if you like if you have the money and you have the you're interested and you have a chance, go to your medical practitioner, your primary doctor, primary care
Get a
physician,
test.
ask them to do a test. They will like and they will get the results and they will help you interpret the results. And they will give you some ideas what maybe could happen.
Right.
That's the best you can hope for. But those are professionals doing it. It's not
Right.
some random company that is even not even allowed to give you any medical advice.
Right.
So like everything you get from 23andMe and all of the companies is yeah, maybe could be we've
Right.
seen that maybe could be this and that or whatever. Yeah, sure. I mean it's interesting and like that's why they focus so much on the whole like where are you from, genealogy, whatever, because that's the only thing that is
Right.
somewhat interesting. It's
And
somewhat a
that's a bit,
hook.
that's kind of a big business too. There are a lot of people that are really into genealogy. I'm not really into it that much, but it's interesting though. It's kind of fun to
It
watch.
is. It is. I mean, to see like how like that over whatever seven different corners you're related to the Queen of England. Like, well, sure, that's interesting.
Right.
But
You're
and
yeah, right.
in the line of succession.
Well, I think technically I am, but very, very far away. Like
All hail
basically not a
Queen
chance.
Patrice.
I know that because Queen Elizabeth was originally from Hanover, and I have like relationships there over like
Yeah,
multiple years.
Hanover wait a minute. Queen
Old school
Elizabeth,
road.
wait a minute.
Old
Queen
school
Elizabeth
road,
was
say
from
yeah.
Hanover?
She
Old
was from the
School Road, she
house
was Hanover.
of yes. House of Hanover and what was the other one? I always forget. They
How did
renamed
I?
them they renamed themselves to Windsor.
So I knew there was something tracing back to Germany, but I didn't realize it was, wow, to Hanover. Is
There's
that?
a whole history of
I
our
mean,
royalty
all
being
of
descended from Germans. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, I mean,
Completely a whole thing.
over.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
long
mean,
time.
but you know, back then everybody was doing it with everybody. So,
That's true. There was a lot of royal inter-country
yeah.
marriages, right?
There was a whole shot of all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
So, as I said, like
Marriages.
there is, as I said, over a lot of quarters, I'm somewhere in the line. I mean, not really, because as I said, like, not gonna happen. But
Well,
my grandma used to say that, like, hey,
I'm
like, are you
looking
gonna
forward
visit
to Her
your great
Majesty
great grandma?
Queen Patrice. I'm
Yeah,
on
no,
board. It's
that's gonna
a matter of fact, I'm
happen.
excited for Queen Patrice. Just as
Oh,
excited as I am about TSO House. And why do I get excited about TSO House? Well, it's because they're taking the things that they do so well, which is web hosting and helping you buy domain names at a good price, and just all the stuff that goes along with making internet stuff happen. And they're saying, hey, British Tech Network, we're giving back to the community, and part of that is we want to give you the resources so that you can do the things you do. So they give us the bandwidth so we can live stream multiple shows every week. They give us the hosting space, so there's a place for the British Tech Network website to live. They're giving us the server storage space so that all of the show files have a place to live so you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want. And the resources it takes to do this are pretty steep. So we really appreciate that TSO Host is here helping us out with that. So thank you, TSO Host. Now, all of you, please just tap on social media and thank TSO Host for being here. It's super easy to do. It's super fast. And it's a great way to let them know that we appreciate that they're here helping support us. And also, if by chance you need to buy domain names, why not give them a shot? Because they do make it easy. They offer good pricing. And because you're part of the BTN family, you get to add the discount code BTN20 at checkout, and you get an extra 20% off your order. So, hey, thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. And speaking of support, Patrice has done such an amazing job of modernizing our live stream and live chat system. And Patrice, I know you say, oh, it's no big deal. It was easy to do. For you, it was. But for the rest of us, we'd be looking at this like, I don't know. It's some sort of magical future technology. But you were able to get it all set up, get us modernized, and it's super cool. And part of what makes that cool is that we have a whole new live chat system. And I would love it if you could tell people about that part.
Sure. We have I was just posting like some, by the way, the house is actually not just Hanover. The house that was renamed is the, what was it? Saxony, Gotha, whatever. Saxon-Coburg-Gotha in German.
Yeah.
And that was renamed for Windsor. So.
And there's stories of us having people on both sides of the First World War. Mm-hmm. Completely families that are all part of, all with royal connections on both sides of the First, and I think and the Second World War, to be fair, as well. There were still distant cousins of the whole incestuous thing. It really is massively.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's a set. Like, they were doing things. Yeah, so I put the links in our really cool live chat. And if you want to join us live when we're recording this show, which you can do, like every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for this very show. Like, we have Stuart, I think is his name, aka Goth Disc, because our chat gives like really funny names to people who joined us and asked us some really cool questions. And if you want to do the same thing, you can do that. Just head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com and you're in. You can see the live show, you can see the chat on the right hand side. You can talk to us. If you want to change your name, as I said, it gives you like really funny names like Goth Minsky and Goth Disc and stuff like that. Then for sure you can do that. You can also change your name. Like just click on the little purple thing up top and say change name, and then you're Ian all of the sudden, or Jeff or something. So it's a really, really cool thing. By the way, Fridays, 4 p.m. Friday, so tomorrow as well, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. If you want to hear about the latest, what's happening in Apple news and like what we bought and all of that, then that's the other option. And let's say you are like you're listening to this in your podcast player, like whatever it is, on a website even. Like you can go to britishtechnetwork.com and just listen there, like all good. And you're like, I really want to get to those like links that Patrice just posted about the royals and whatever. I'm really interested in that history. Well, the good news is there's a really easy way to do that. All you have to do is you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then on that very page, you select the date for the day that you want to see the transcript for. So, for example, for today, that would be September the 19th, 2024. And if you select that date in the chat, in the calendar, then it will show you what was talked about in the chat for that day. And you could pick any day that we had a show between now and June 2nd, I think, 2015. So it goes back quite a while. So if you're interested in what we were talking about in 2018, for example, all you have to do is head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, put that date in, and you will see what we talked about in the chat on that day.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrice, for walking everyone through that. And seriously, thanks for all the work you put into modernizing our whole system. You rock.
Absolutely.
All right. So with that, it's time for cool things. And who has the first cool thing? And the awesome thing
Let me.
is, I
Let
don't
me.
know if I'm even actually seeing anything in the chat.
Oh, Tom's got one ahead of me, and there's my one just arriving now. One's a dead simple one.
Up there we go. Okay, so I had to refresh, and now I see Tom's. Okay.
Okay. My pick is kind of a no-brainer. I'm a little bit late to the game. My pick is Slow Horses on Apple TV. It's a series, I think 4 seasons. I'm into season 3 now.
Yes, we're in the middle of season four, I think.
Middle of 4. Okay. So I just started about 2 weeks ago. So I've run through 2.5 seasons in a couple of weeks, and it's a really fun show. So it's about some MI5 misfits who have been banished to a group of ne'er-do-wells run by a character played by Gary Oldman, and he does a fantastic
He
job in
plays. He's a
that character.
great character. Like, I mean, the holes in his socks and his like whole demeanor and whatever. Like the greasy hair. Like just everything.
And he plays his character so well.
He does
Yeah.
such a good job. And there are a lot of good actors and characters, so good writing, and the actors have done a good job with those characters. And I'm old enough where I've seen a gazillion spy stories, but they do a really good job of coming up with some kind of unique stories, and they're not too obvious. And if you've seen enough spy shows, you say, okay, this happened, so I know this is going to happen next. It doesn't always work that way. But it's mostly the writing, the dialogue, the characters is really good. Spy stories are spy stories, but I think they've done an excellent job. And I'm sure somebody else has picked this at some time, but since I just got on the bandwagon, I had to pick it this week.
Well, it's timely because the new season started just a few weeks ago.
Okay, perfect.
And Tom, this is actually based on a book series. I haven't read any of the
Right.
books. From what I understand, each season is a different book.
Oh.
And people I know that have read the series have said that the current season, the book it's based on, is one of the best in the whole series.
Oh. I'm intending
But,
to
you
read
know,
some of the book series when I get around to it.
I think that's a good idea. Reading the books might be a really good idea.
Yeah, people seem to really like the books. But yeah, awesome series and great pick.
And I
And,
like Mick Jagger singing the theme song too.
yeah, when I first heard the theme, I had to go and look up and see who was actually singing it because I'm like, there's no way they got Mick Jagger to do this. Nope, turns out
Same
they
with me.
did. They actually
Same
got
with
Mick Jagger
me.
to do this.
Yeah, same. It's like there's no way he's doing a TV show theme
It
song. There he was.
turns out there is a way.
There is a way.
Yep. Cool.
There's always a way.
Ian, tell us about your cool thing, your Minty cool
Michael.
thing.
My cool thing is Linux Mint. Pick it because there's a new version just come out in the last month or so. And every now and then I get keep experimenting with the desktop Linux and see if it's there yet. Yeah, it never will be. Let's be real about it. But this is really a very good operating system. It's a ton better than any I've seen. The interesting things are there's now better connectivity for things like your web services you normally use, OneDrive. Google's workplace and stuff like that, they're all in there. And so you can actually get to them now. So my Google Drive is mounted as it is mounted there and I can get to it. So is my OneDrive. Those are really helpful and help the transition for me to go and I haven't got to come up with some wacky way of doing it. It just does it. I don't need to find some third party thing. I've got Edge browser. I've got most of the tools I use regularly there. It's quite good. I was going to use it I was actually going to come and do my show from it tonight because I've got Zoom, got Slack. I thought, yeah, maybe I'll do that. But then I realized I need to rewire the camera and stuff. And that was when it got a little bit too much. Like, no, yet. I'll see if I dig out a spare camera and I might do. But genuinely, I'm really impressed for what it is. It's nice and fast. The GUI is very familiar to anyone with Windows. Anyone who's used Windows before. the format's familiar. You've not got GNOME. Sadly, GNOME is designed by people who wanted to make everything that was different to Windows for no good reason other than making it different to Windows. And it's just a horrible mess of a thing, which I'm sure you can tame, but then you're kind
No,
of going away.
it's actually a clone of macOS.
What? Which Mac OS? I use Mac OS daily, and it's
Yeah,
now.
like macOS 10, like the original GNOME was actually macOS 10. There was KDE as the Windows clone.
Yeah, KDE is actually the new KDE is actually very good as well.
Yeah,
That's
the
even
old
more
KDE was the
customizable.
old Windows clone. Yeah, but GNOME was actually macOS clone, like the bar on the top and like
Yeah, but
the
then
dock
they
and
got lost.
everything.
Yeah, they got
Yeah, they
lost
just
along the
never did
way.
it well.
No, it's I can see why kind of thing, but it just no, it's just an ergonomic nightmare. No one should ever have to use that. We're all familiar with the trope of click down the bottom left-hand corner, menu pops up, you can get to your tools. Or even it's the top hour and then there's a menu, click a button, the applications appear. We're all familiar with that, so that makes it easier. But if you have an old computer, you want to get a bit more life out of it. Top tip, if you're clever and have got a little bit of time to spare, you can make an old Mac that's no longer supported with current generation of updates continue to live a useful life as a work as a computer.
You know, I put Mint on a PC probably 5 to 8 years ago. You know, it was an old PC that was running out of steam, and it worked great. And the only problem I had with it was finding drivers for some of the hardware.
Now it's less so. I mean, it commodity hard machine under here that I've got it installed on commodity hardware, just completely boom working. Everything and nothing I needed to do.
But
The
it's
only
for a
bravery.
unit, you know, for a little Linux box, it was great, you know. And you know, the GUI's fine. I'm not that hung up about Unix or Linux GUIs. I mostly wanted the command line,
Yeah, and
because I
you've
miss
got that.
having a full-featured Unix or Linux command line. It was just fantastic. That part of it was
Oh,
great,
yeah.
but I had a hard, I couldn't use it because it didn't. I couldn't find drivers for a lot of the hardware interface stuff.
Those things happily have started to go away now. Commodity hardware makes this sort of thing very attractive and
Yeah,
very
that
easy
makes
to use.
sense.
And you
Maybe
can
I'll
go
do
in and go,
it.
what do I need? I need these things. I can install it pretty much. The only thing you'll struggle with if you are going to do what I was suggesting about a Mac, if you've got a MacBook Air, because I know I've done this, you'll need some kind of USB NIC to get initially a network connection. And once you've done that, and then you have got to go and find the driver for the relevant car, which isn't too tricky. The software, a bit of Googling will help you and find it. And then it's up and running. I had it running on an old MacBook Air that's long past getting any updates from Apple, and it runs perfectly well. It's a use. In fact, it's running Chrome OS at the minute, but I think I'm going to revert it back to this because it is genuinely a useful operating system that does everything you need it to.
Yeah, it's great.
So
That's
yeah,
awesome.
I can recommend. I'm finding it quite good.
Well, I've been thinking about putting Mint on my old MacBook Air. And I just never get around to it, but I think you just inspired me to make that happen.
Make sure you've got a USB NIC somewhere.
Oh yeah, I do.
Because that's the only thing you'll need is a USB NIC, so you can get so you once you've got it up, you can use a driver update to find the Wi-Fi network card drivers, and then you're done. If you can't find them, drop me a message. I know what they're called. I can
Sounds
sort you.
good.
I
I know
can
right where to find
I
you.
can fix you.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, Patrice, it's your turn.
So hard to pick something for the final thing today. Actually, I think I'm gonna go with my Anker power bank. Let me throw that in the chat. So if you're traveling a lot like me, and you're like you have a MacBook, you might have a Vision Pro or like some other Dell, whatever, like some other you have a lot, I mean. If you're like us, you probably have a lot of gear that you're traveling with, like your
Oh, that was
smartwatch, your smartphone, your laptop, maybe multiple laptops if you're traveling for work and if your personal laptop is you, your tablet, like whatever, like all kinds of different devices. So, The problem you run into is, yeah, there is sometimes USB outlet or outlet places, but especially like on planes, then it's an old plane, it doesn't have outlets, or you're on a train or whatever, like you're traveling and that you need power. Where do you get it from? This Anker Prime 27,650 milliamp hour power bank is really cool. It's not that expensive. I don't remember. It's like, I think I bought it for, I want to say $50 or $80 or something like that off Amazon. It was on sale somewhere. I think it's regular. It's over 100 if I remember correctly.
179.
And okay, so maybe I misremember it was 120 or something, but like it wasn't that expensive. And the cool thing is it's a 250 watt power bank. So it's not just a big power bank that you can like charge your MacBook, I don't know, 15,000 times with. No, not that much, but quite a bit still. But you can also charge it fast because as I said, it does support 250 watts. It has two USB-C ports and one USB-A port if you need that. So your like M2, M4 Mac, M4 MacBook Pro, for example, you can boost to like 50% in just like half an hour. So it's actually pretty nice. And since it's the biggest you can travel with, because there's a limit in the US and I think worldwide of 100 watt hours. That's the most you're allowed to travel with. And this one has 99.54. So
That's about as close as
it's
you can
under
get.
the limit. This is big as you can get. But yeah, it connects to Bluetooth if you want, like to your phone, so you can like configure it. So you can like configure which port does what, like what wattage you want. There's like a million things you can configure. You don't have to, but you can. It comes with like really nice pouch, and it comes with like a little USB-C charging cable. It doesn't come with a power brick. I think there's a bundle you can buy if you wanted to, but why? Like I always have my charger with me, so like why would I do that?
So you
So
look,
yeah, it's just really powerful.
if you look at the specs, it's 27,000 milliamp hours, 20, which is 27 amp hours in the battery. That's insane.
Yes. It is big. And it's not that heavy. I mean, it's like I could get it, but it's actually no, it's under the camera here right now. But it's not that big. It's like what's a good comparison? It's like in the US probably would be like two or three sticks of butter, maybe. Maybe four together like that. Yeah.
It
Probably four
depends on
sticks of
which part of the
butter.
country you're in. I'm not
True.
kidding.
I forgot about that. Yes, I forgot about
Yeah,
that.
it'd be
Yeah,
much bigger
it's
in
hard.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
true.
I could
Yeah,
do with some kind of
but it's
manpower
not
though,
that
like
big.
this for next time I travel.
Yeah, it's like it's not that big, it's not that heavy for the amount of like power it has. It's again
And if you're in the
power
UK,
brick,
it's
so I don't know.
£130, so it's not too bad
yeah
actually.
yeah And I mean, Prime Day is coming, so maybe you're lucky and you get
Get a
the
bit of a deal
discount.
on it, yeah. And the other thing to say is Anker is one of those trusted brands of chargery type stuff. When I'm going to buy things like this, I can know I can buy Anker stuff and you're not going to worry about it because it's going to work.
It's not going to blow up,
It's not going to blow up, it's
yeah,
going to
which is
work.
important. I've got three of them, yeah, they're great. I've never had a single problem with them.
Yeah, really good company, really high quality product. I said I'm super happy with it, and as I said, it's not that big. It actually fits in the travel case for the Vision Pro. So if you know that, like, it's not hard to tell on the camera because you don't know the proportions. But if you've seen the travel case like of the Vision Pro, it actually fits in there. So that's where I put it.
Very
Quite
cool.
convenient.
That does sound cool. Awesome. Yeah, I need to have a look
Anchor.
for another one. We keep losing the debt again. Children have disappeared, and funnily enough, all the bricks and the chargers have disappeared with them. I wonder why that might be. Ah, so
Yeah,
I might have to
cables,
pick up another. Yeah, they keep stealing useful things like that, so I might have to
no,
buy another one.
I have a theory that they eat cables. Because you
that
can
makes
give them
sense.
like a charging cable and it disappears in a second.
Complete, not only eat it, but destroy it as well, because they've not figured out, at
It's
least
just
until I
gone.
taught them. Now, until I taught them the fact that you don't pull on the wire, you pull on the little pluggy thing that goes around them, because that's how it was designed. And two faces about 5 years ago, although it looked to me starstruck, but what? That's what that's for. Oh, but they sit in bed with the cable charged up and then wangling the finger around and back, and then suddenly no cable survives that. It's just if I've still got an original, I've still got an original iPhone cable I got from one phone around that still works perfectly. You know, it's possible.
Yeah, for me for me they don't usually last that long.
All right. I think that means it's my turn now. And
It
it's been a surprise what I brought the past few times that we've had cool things. This one is not a surprise because yes, I am bringing Lego, and
this time. You're
yeah.
going to cost me money, Jeffrey.
And I can't tell, did my link actually show up? Nope.
Nope.
Not yet.
No.
Not
Oh
yet.
man, let me
You
try
showed up,
again.
though.
There it
There we go. Okay,
goes.
that worked.
Okay.
Oh,
So
yeah.
October 1st, that's when Ian is going to spend
Wow, look at that.
$150
Oh, you
because
bastard.
Lego is
You
releasing
bastard.
their larger size, highly detailed 1966 TV series Batmobile.
Jeff, you
That's
bastard.
cool. That's a
It's
great
super
one.
cool, and I do not apologize for spending your money because
You
it's
bastard. I am probably going to
$180
end
you
up with
spent.
one. At some point, I will. I have the smaller version up on the shelf behind me here.
My smaller version is in the other room, and the
And I
smaller
like that
version
very
is
much. It's really
great.
cool. Yeah, I think I thought it was a really enjoyable little build. I like that one. I've still got a Droidy Castle build, which I must
Oh,
do
well.
I get a wet after. Well, I'm waiting for a wet. It's sort of thing. I keep those for a poor weather day when I've got nothing else to do. And I can come and sit down here and spend a couple of hours building something. That's that comes quite satisfying.
I need to say, holy model kit, Batman. Well
Yeah.
done. Well done.
Superb. Well done, that
And
man.
Pal and
Kapow and slammy
Cabal and Biff
whammo.
and Sock and
Biff,
yes.
yeah, Sock.
And Wacko. I'll call it the cockpit, where you sit in the
Yes.
Batmobile. It's really
That's the best name
detailed.
for it.
Even the trunk opens up where the mobile bat crank
All right.
computer is. It's just like tons of detail in this kit, and surprisingly good price point too, because it's $149.99, but it's 1,822 pieces. So this
Less than a
is much
dime.
better than my dime a brick guideline that I use
Yeah.
for pricing.
I'm gonna have to get my own bag.
It does include a classic Batman minifigure and a little stand that he's on, like he's on top of a building on a gargoyle or something. And it has a little information plaque that goes with it. It's just a super cool looking build, and it's available October 1st, $150.
Nice.
Jeff,
Yeah.
click the link I've just posted. Extra cool
So,
thing.
and oh yeah, Corgi is reissuing the their metal
Yeah.
Batmobile, the
Diecast Batmobile.
diecast one. Thank you.
Diecast Batmobile. They've got whole set. The Corgi Modelers Club is quite nice. I was a member for a while and I was running out of shelf space, so I had to stop. But I did get the James Bond Aston Martin, which is one of the ones I was after, and a couple of others that are nice. But this is a lovely recreation of the 60s and 70s original toy Batmobile that came out with the little rocket launchers in the back that you put the rockets in and send them out, and then they disappear in the carpet, never to be seen again. All of that is still there, and they've got permission. I don't think it's actually Corgi, the company this is, or but their license designs, license models, approval from DC, everything is there. You know, it's really, really good. They're absolutely superb.
That's a nice add-on pick right there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Does look cool.
All right. So with that, we should really wrap up because we're over an hour now. And I have had tons of fun today, but yeah, we do have to go. So Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me on LinkedIn. My name is Ian Grant. I work for Veeam. That's the easiest place to get me. Otherwise, occasionally you can find me in our Slack room or in the chat here, because I was just talking to Stuart. So yeah.
Awesome. And Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social.
Cool. And Patrice, how about you when you're not hanging out in undisclosed locations?
Well, the location's actually not even undisclosed because I told you where
Oh, that's fair. When you're not
I
hanging out in
am. So,
Oslo,
we're going to
yeah.
send
So
you to Slough House.
next. Oh yeah, oh, that could happen. I mean, I would fit right in because I never follow orders at all. So, so next 2 days I'm still in Oslo. I'm usually on the big show, on the Mac show, on the British Tech Network. British Tech Network. Wow. Unless I'm traveling, with the exception of this week, because I kind of managed to do that, but usually I'm working, so it doesn't work. You can find out more about me, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, like literally everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com. And Jeff and I have a really cool TV show rewatch podcast called Retro Rewatch. We're rewatching Stargate SG-1 right now, and tomorrow we will post a really cool episode about season one, episode 10, I want to say, Thor's Hammer. So, which is one of my all-time favorite episodes. So, yeah, look forward to that.
I'm looking forward to it as well. All right. So then for me, Jay Gamut on social media. I'm active right now on Mastodon and Instagram. Then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network, big show on Thursdays, Mac show on Fridays. Context Machine, Brian Chaffin and I do that show. And then Patrice already mentioned Retro Rewatch. And with that, seriously, thank you to putting a smile on my face. The three of you are absolutely awesome. And I'm so glad we got to spend part of our Thursday together. And all of you that are watching, listening live, participating in the chat, thank you for being here and being part of this as well. You all rock. And well, as do all of you that watch or listen to the shows later. So thank you to all of you for being part of the family. And that family, it's more than just those of us that you see here in front of microphones and cameras, because there's also Ewan. So Ewan, thank you for being you. And Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. TSO hosts, thank you for being here and supporting us. And yeah, so join us tomorrow for the Mac show. Then come back again next Thursday for the big show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.